guys. We're just going to kick it off here with a fun fact.
Not going to lie. Andy had a fun fact, and it just went a little sideways kind of quick.
Wow.
It's okay. It was a great one. Just maybe not for this podcast. Okay, so I want you to think. What do you think the biggest or the most well-known worship song is? Like, what do you think the song that's like the top of the charts, what is that going to be?
Some hymn.
No. I'm talking like a something that like a worship song.
Got no idea.
You know it if you heard it, but it's You Say by Lauren Daigle. I said that as a question, but I didn't know if I said her name right, but I did. I did say her name right. Loved this song when it came out. It was so good. It's still such a good song. But it stayed at the top of the charts for 123 weeks. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, 52 weeks in a year? So, that's a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing the quick math there. It's okay.
So 2 years would be 104. Should be like 2.5 years, mm-hmm. somewhere close.
Mm-hmm. Long time. I have been saying I was going to make a Spotify list, and I think I'm actually going to do that when we get done with this. I'm going to link my Apple playlist in the show notes, and it's always on our link tree, but I will make a Spotify playlist and I will share it on our Instagram and our Facebook. For some reason, I cannot get links to work on TikTok right now. But this whole episode is going to stem from a TikTok. And if you follow us on TikTok, then I'm pretty sure you know where we're going with this one. So, there was this pretty big artist. I don't know if you know her or not. You know, her name's Taylor. And she released a new album, and it's called The Tortured Poets Department. I said that slow because I think that's what it's called. The Tortured Poets Department. I want to start this whole episode off by saying two things. One, there's a difference in judging and judging righteously. There's two very different things. I am not judging Taylor Swift. I do not want anybody to speak bad about her. I do not want anybody to comment on stuff saying that she's Satan, she's the devil reincarnated, she's all of these bad things. I don't want anybody.
She do be looking like that LaVey lady.
We're going to get into that because that's just a cool little interesting fact there. I don't think that she is this like horrible, horrible person, okay? I don't want anybody saying any kind of mean things about her. Not that I'm going to cause a difference here, but still, I don't want that for her, okay? Two, let me be clear when I say I am not someone who has, like, hated Taylor Swift. Like, I'm not that person who, since, 2006, has been like, oh my gosh, I can't stand her. Shut up. And, like, everybody bully Taylor Swift. No. Your girl was probably top 5%, okay? Like, I love Taylor Swift. Loved, I guess. When I would get nervous and I would have a lot of anxiety or something was going on, you best believe Shake It Off was playing, okay? And we would shake it off. I bawled my eyeballs out. Oh my gosh, I have bawled my eyeballs out to her breakup songs. Like, Back to December and several other. We're not going to go through and talk about all of them because I went through a rough period where Taylor Swift really mended my heart there. It's something that me and my best friend from when I was younger, we bonded over Taylor Swift. I took pictures of my best friend burning pictures of her ex, playing Just Another Picture to Burn. We did that. I loved her. I really, really did. And I'm saying all of that because I want you to understand that I'm not coming from a place of hate. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. But I want to explain what happened, and I want to explain why I believe the way I believe, and address several comments from TikTok and Facebook and all of these other places that I have seen while I'm doing that. So if you have not clicked off yet, even if you aren't a Christian, you love Taylor Swift, you want me to shut up, you think this is all stupid, I want to encourage you to listen to this entire episode because I'm going to come at this in a way of let's just sit down and have a conversation, okay? Let's not point fingers. Let's not call names. Andy's going to be nice.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And I really, really, really want to talk about this, okay? So she had this album come out, and there's a bunch of people that are kind of like, they're a little upset about it because it is a little different from her normal stuff. Now, she uses a lot of metaphors in this album. Yes, I know they are metaphors. I am not an idiot, okay? But we're going to get into this other stuff. So some of these lyrics, so like there's one from the song Guilty as Sin, and it says, "What if I roll the stone away? They're going to crucify me anyway. What if the way that you hold me is actually what's holy? If long-suffering propriety is what they want from me, they don't know how you've haunted me so stunningly. I choose you and me religiously." Another song by is The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and it says, "I would have died for your sins. Instead, I just died inside." Another song, "But Daddy, I love him. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, singing, what a mess. I just learned that these people try to save you because they hate you." We're going to talk about this song specifically a lot, and we're going to get into a few other things. But it was things like that over and over again throughout the album that I was like, dang, Taylor, like, it really kind of, it got heavy. And then I made a video talking about these lyrics on TikTok, and it went viral. And there were two separate, I mean, there was a strong divide. There were, you know, the side of, you know, I agree with you. I really think that we need to be careful what we listen to. And then the even stronger versions of that were, she's a demon, all of these things. And then on the other side of that, it was a simple, I don't think that's what she meant. They were metaphors. You have to look at it with context, this, that, and the other. And then, of course, that extreme side was, we're just not even going to say what those comments said. We can't say what those comments said. But I do want to address a couple of them. So the reason that I made the video is because I really, really, really want people to understand what you're listening to directly affects you. I'm going to talk a little bit about music. I'm going to talk a little bit about discernment. There's probably going to be a whole part two to this episode that talks about music in general, but tonight we are going to focus specifically on some T-Swift, okay? Again, please keep in mind, I am not bashing, I am not judging, okay? There is a very big difference in judging someone, thinking, like saying, this is what I think should happen, or, you know, blah, 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 wishing her the best, all of that. I'm not doing that, okay? But the Bible does tell us that we need to judge people by their fruits, okay? And that is Matthew 7, 15 through 20. And it's saying, the very last one is, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Meaning that if they say they're a Christian, you will see the fruits that they are a Christian. If they are not, then you will obviously see the fruits of that. You get the point, okay? Read Matthew 7, 15 through 20. I know I've been kind of all over the place here getting everything rolling, but I'm trying to make sure that before we get into everything I'm going to say, you understand I am not trying to be mean. Not that Taylor Swift will ever listen to this, but I want you guys to understand I'm not coming from a place of hate. So let's just start at the beginning with music in general, and I am actually going to be taking a lot of inspiration from a message that my dad preached a few years ago called The Power of Music. Actually, I wouldn't really call it inspiration. I'm going to give you a commentary and note footnotes of this sermon that he preached, because there is no way that I could put it any better than how my dad put it. I'm honestly, okay, me and Andy sit on the very back row, and while my dad is preaching, I'm going to just give you all of the little comments that me and him are like elbowing each other at as he is preaching, okay? So music was created before man. Music was created before anything. And it was created in a way of something to reverence and worship God. That is what music was intended for. That is where it all began. That's what started it. Psalms 104 and 33 says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will praise to my God while I have my being." Psalms 150, starting at verse 3, it says, "Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So there's a lot of things that talk about how music is made for worshiping God. There was also something else that was made for worshiping God in a musical sense. And that was this little dude named Lucifer. Okay, he kind of comes into play at some point here. He's kind of a big person in this whole thing. So Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the bad guy here.
Beelzebub.
Beelzebub. This guy is, he was literally made to praise God. He was this angel. He was like the head of music, if you will. He is the one that kind of did all of that. And something that is amazing about it, and it talks in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah. In Ezekiel 28:13, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, all of them." It goes through all this, okay? And then down at the bottom, it says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." So it's not that Satan could play this harp like no other. It wasn't that he was this beautiful being that, you know, could play a guitar or a violin or a piano so well. No, it was made in him. He was this instrument. Everything about him was made to praise and worship God. So there's really, I mean, once he become this fallen angel because he wanted to be praised in the same way that God was, and he became like the fallen angel and he did all this, it kind of makes sense that, you know, maybe he used his absolute biggest tool, his biggest strength, the purpose for which he was created, to turn people away from God. Okay, I mean, if I had this one super secret mouse tool and I knew that it was going to do the trick every time, that's probably the one that I would use.
So it's safe to say you wouldn't want to bet a fiddle of gold against your soul.
Think I'm better than you. Bow, bow, bow. Okay, yes. But, I mean, in all honesty, that's what he created him for. He said he was covered in precious stones and he had these tabrets and pipes, and it's not that he played them. It was created inside of him. In Isaiah 14, it talks about how when he fell, God took away the noise of his vow. God took away the anointing in what he was doing. So anything that he would make from then on out, it no longer had the anointing of God. And if you have ever been in a place to where you feel, you know what it feels like to be away from God, you know the coldness that I'm talking about. You know the coldness that he felt in that moment. Think about it like this. Every single culture known to man, culture, tribe, group of people, every single society in the history of mankind has had music involved in some form or way, whether it be songs, whether it be chants, drums, whistles. All cultures have some form of music, so it's very easy to do one of two things. To either use that to worship and exalt God, or it can go the other way. So there are three kinds of musics. There's three kinds of music. There's godly music, okay? It lifts you up, it makes you feel good, it's exalting God, it's doing all the good things. And it's very easy to tell when you are listening to that kind of music. You just have to look for the anointing in the song, and you have to look for the fruit. You have to, you know, use discernment with the fruit. And then there's evil music. It sounds very like cliche to say that word, but it's just very bad. Okay, bad music. Explicit. It promotes everything that God condemns. And it is not, I have literally heard people say, you know, you can't listen to a certain genre of music because it's all bad. No, 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 no. Let me tell you now, my Spotify playlist or my Apple playlist, whatever you, what playlist you want to listen to, we have all of the musics, okay? We have Christian rock. I have Christian rap. I have country music. I have gospel music.
Let's not talk about playlists now. Let's just skip that.
You got some, you got some good, what is that one band?
Was it Red? Red, yeah.
I couldn't remember if that was the name of that one or not.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy likes rock music, like heavier rock music. And there are definitely some Christian choices that you can go with that. I like all of it. I do. I like worship music. I really, really, really like Brandon Lake. I really like Brandon Lake. I've been into Kane. I found this other band. I think it's a brother trio. It's Consumed by Fire. I love that song, First Things First. I also really like Christian rap. I like Mineo.
Like B-Shock?
No. No. Okay. B-Shock came to our church one time.
Wow.
I like Mineo, and there is...
Did your dad come out dressed like Flavor Flav?
No. It was... I mean... B-Shock was out there doing his thing, and I hate it for him because it was just, the kids were just like not in it. I think they were embarrassed because their parents were like in the back row, you know. What is it? It's this guy. I found him on TikTok, and he sings a song called Abba. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but is it Zabbai? Z-A-B-B-A-I? I don't know. Okay, look, he is on TikTok. I really like this Abba. Guy.
When you said Abba, I was thinking, I guess it's potato, tomato.
Abba, Abba. Oh, you were thinking the BAM?
No.
Okay.
I've done thought about it too much now.
I also really, really, really like some Tamela Mann, Eddie James. All of those songs are great songs. Those are all worship music. It's all good music, okay? But we were talking about evil music, and it is not just one genre. It is literally, it can be all of the genres. I've heard, you know, you got your country music. We're going to crash your truck, and your wife cheated on you, and you're going to drink a beer with your dog on the lake. It's all of the things. Rock music, it can get really heavy. Do you want to take that genre?
Hmm?
Maybe not. Rap. I'm not even going to, like, dive too far into this one. I'm just going to say one name, and we'll just go from there. Cardi B got a song that is... It's just going to be a very good example of the kind of music maybe we shouldn't listen to, you know?
Which one?
Oh. That one. Yeah. I was trying. I didn't want to say it. And even pop. I mean... Britney Spears is pop, and you know she has that one song about that girl named Amy.
Mm.
You know, those kind of
things.
You're
just looking for her.
Yeah, you know, it's no. So then we have the third kind of music, and it's the more neutral music. It's the filler music. It's honestly, it's not bad. It's not good either. It's not going to push you or pull you towards God. And I feel like that's...
So you're saying you can listen to it.
I'm saying you're not going to go to hell if you listen to Baby Shark. But
no, that is when you're already there.
That's what's playing in there. Yes. No, I feel like maybe that's where Taylor Swift was when she started out, because she's never been a Christian artist. She's never been, you know, a worship artist or anything like that. But she didn't talk about horrible things when she first started out. And it's not that she's like this demon now and talking about these awful things, but it's the metaphors that she uses that puts her in this place. And people ask, like, okay, well, is there really power in music? Go read Joshua chapter 6 when they marched around the city and they blew the trumpets and they're singing this song and the walls came tumbling down. I mean,
this caused that trumpet started a mosh pit.
I mean, hey.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord told him, he said, you walk around this so many times and I want you to blow the horn this many times and this is what I want you to do and I want you to sing when you do it. How many times have you sang and a wall came tumbling down? Exactly. There's power, okay? go look at Acts chapter 16. Paul uses some discernment with this fortune-telling lady, who he quickly realizes has a demonic spirit inside of her. And Paul kind of calls that out, and he says, you know, in Jesus' name, you'll come out of her. She was possessed with a spirit of divination or soothsaying. And Paul was literally thrown in prison because he caused this woman to lose her gift, if you will. And she was a very lucrative asset to these people. And they got really mad. They threw him in jail. So he, not only that, they beat him severely, him and Silas. And so while they're in jail, they start singing. Because, you know, when else are you going to sing? And if that is not a testimony in itself, when you have been beaten and bruised and kicked and you're just at the very bottom, start singing. Start singing God's name. Start singing worship music, okay? And so they start singing, and then all of a sudden, an earthquake breaks open, and the chains break off of them. The doors swing open, and he's literally, like, God literally broke them free, okay? So then in 1 Samuel 16 and 23, right in there, David gets called in to play the harp for King Saul. He is like being mentally tormented. He has a lot going on in his mind, and he calls David in, and through David's praise and worship, he literally pushes back the demons of hell with his song. 1 Samuel 16 and 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. With that song, David pushed back the demon from hell from Saul. Okay? There is power in music. There is more power than you probably even realize. Like, have you ever been torn up with anxiety like Saul was? You're just like being mentally tormented. Think about what you're listening to. I will be the first to tell you, music affects you more than you even realize. Or maybe you do realize it. Let me just talk to you about how much it can affect you. So music stimulates your brain. And when music enters your brain, it will literally bypass the part of your brain that reasons, thinks, and, you know, does, basically filters out things, okay? And it will go directly to the emotional center, the memory and the emotions, okay? When music goes in, it causes things to happen. It releases dopamines and endorphins and like all of the things. If it's a happy song, or it can release aggression. There have been studies shown on like very aggressive music and how it affects your brain and what it can cause you. And everybody who likes rock music, who is sitting here shaking their head like my husband did the entire time my dad preached this, he was like, oh, whatever. I want you to go throw on something like The Sound of Madness or something else and tell me you don't want to punch somebody square in the mouth.
No, mine is, you want to see me get ready to fight somebody, play Walk by Pantera.
Oh, no.
Come through kicking the door in.
Is it Sound? No, not Sound of Madness. Or is it Down with the Sickness? I can't remember the
Sound of Madness is...
that's the slow
sound
one.
Down.
Shine Down. Shine I know down. That. Listening to those types of songs will make you want to square up with Antibody. Okay? Been there, done that. It does. Just like you play some George, somebody gonna cry. Don't you laugh at me. I'm talking to you. I have seen you. You play Conway or George, you gonna cry.
Wow.
Kenny.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it affects you. It does. I went, what else? Let's just keep going and then we'll come back.
That steel guitar hit you, boy.
Boy, you throw on some Vince Gill and I will bawl like a baby. Which some of his stuff isn't bad. Like Go Rest High on That Mountain. I absolutely love that song. That tears me up inside because that's what they played at my papa's funeral. But certain things like that, it does. I was in high school and I had this playlist of like sad breakup songs. Like I'm talking all of the Taylor Swift. It was Men in Mascara, Always Run. It was all of the sad country songs, okay? And I would listen to that. I was going through a breakup, okay? I was going through a really hard time. It was all the sad Garth Brooks songs, all of it. And this guy got my iPod and he's like, what are you listening to? But he was like, dude, you've got to stop listening to this. He's like, no wonder you're freaking crying all the time. And he was right. Do we want to dive into what Chris Brown will do to people? Maybe we shouldn't. What some Trey Songz will do to some people? Tell me the bad decisions you have made after listening to Trey Songz, Chris Brown, Rihanna. But no, seriously, I mean, if we want to joke about that kind of stuff, that's what it is. You can have music that will like set you on fire. You want to punch somebody. We will have music that you will be crying, ready to divorce your husband, ready to leave your wife, all of these things. Or just go get drunk and do stupid stuff. You'll have music that makes you want to go out and do all of the things that Chris Brown and Trey Songz talk about. I mean, and it's true. It does. It really does. And when you listen to that kind of music over and over and over and over and over, and that's all you're filling your head with, it kind of starts to seep in. Music releases that good feeling, that message to your brain that says, okay, I like this. This is okay. And like I said, there's no filter to like where it comes into your brain, and it goes straight to your heart, straight to your brain. No filter, skips that part. And that's why you really have to stop and think, what are we listening to at this point? And some people are like, Bridget, it is not that deep. Like Taylor Swift is not trying to like cause people to go to hell or anything like that. I am not saying that Taylor Swift is like this maniacal person sitting there with her pitchfork and like writing these songs, like doing all this stuff. No. But what I am saying is, I mean, just like in Matthew, it's like, if you're not for God, you're against God. Okay. If you're not singing and praising and worshiping his name, then you are doing either one of the other two. You're either stuck in the middle, not really doing anything, and you're not pushing or pulling. I mean, and being lukewarm is almost just as bad, or you're the bad side of it. And I mean, people are like, but does it really cause all of those things to happen? Do you really think that that's what that is? Okay, so ad agencies know that that is exactly what happens when you hear music. That's why they have jingles, okay? I want you to tell me if you know this jingle. I'm hiding the page from Andy because of the rest of the stuff on here. Because this jingle had me in a chokehold. I sang it for 2 years. And I honestly...
And every time she about let go of it, I'd start it back up. I already know what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
The KFC commercial.
Yes, sir. The three chicken tenders, taters, and gravy. I threw in a biscuit and a big old cookie. Literally, why do I know the whole special at KFC? I mean...
You never not once ordered.
No, I did not. But that's the thing. It's like, we know that. We know the, what is it? The Band-Aid brand song. Mm-hmm. What's another jingle? Like a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta finish it.
State Farm is there.
It does. And it's, honestly, would you care about any of these things if it wasn't a song? Would you care that State Farm was there like a good neighbor? Would you care that KFC had three chicken tenders, potatoes and gravy, and a biscuit and a cookie?
With a cookie?
I might care about the cookie.
Yeah.
But seriously, would you know those things without a song? How many times growing up would you use a song to learn something? Okay, our generation, the Bone song with Hannah Montana, literally helped me pass
what
an anatomy test. You wouldn't know. Did you watch Hannah Montana?
Not once.
Well, then why are you looking at me? She had a song. There was an episode where she was in class and had to learn about the bones in the body, and she made up a song, and that's how she passed the class. That's how I passed my anatomy class, or my test with the bones or whatever. I'm just going to throw out this one number, and I'm curious to see if you know what song it's from. Okay? 6789892122.
Yeah, that hotline. No, what is it?
Kiss Me.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, Kiss Me Through the Phone.
Oh, yeah.
That number don't go nowhere. I called it.
Or 8675309.
Yeah. Why does that matter? Yeah. Well, but you know these. You will know the 867. What is it? I can't even do it you now that I'm know. Talking. I know now that I'm talking about it.
8675309.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I can't do it without singing it. Rude. I can't say it. Could you? I can't talk a song. I have to sing a song, and I didn't want to sing that song. No, but I mean, all of these things, like, you know all of these things because they are just, like, embedded into your head, okay? So all of this to say that music is powerful. And like I said, we'll do a part two where we go into other stuff, but I want to focus on the TikTok. I want to focus on Taylor because that's really what's got everybody, like, a little angry here. She uses a lot of metaphors, and specifically the one I wanted to go back to was the "But Daddy, I Love Him," I think it was. Yeah, it was that one. It was the one where it says, "I just learned that these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned that these people try to save you because they hate you." I understand that from what everybody has told me, that she basically has religious trauma. And I can get that. I do. Because I feel like when she first came out and she was dating all of these guys, which, again, guys, I think she came out when she was, like, what, 16? She's 34. Probably going to have a few boyfriends between 16 and 34 if you have not gotten married. But she was really, like, talked bad about for having all of these boyfriends and whatever. And guys, we don't know personally what went on between these two people, so it's not our place to judge. We have no idea what happened. And that's kind of what I'm getting, that and the fact that I think she was raised in church and maybe it just didn't go well when she became this big huge star. But go back to my church hurt episode and listen to where I'm talking about. We cannot blame God for something that the church did, because the church is a group of people. We are the church. Humans are the church. And honestly, we'll let you down every time. We're going to make mistakes. And I hate that some people have made such detrimental mistakes that it causes other people to lose their salvation, which is a whole other episode. But the next part of that song says, "Too high a horse for a simple girl to rise above it. They slammed the door on my whole world, the one thing I wanted." And then it kind of goes through and it's talking about, you know, she's letting loose now. She's, you know, going to do all this stuff. And there was another part down here where it says, "God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see. Thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches it and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny." Okay, here is my issue. Oh, wait, here it is. There's a lot of people in that town I bestow upon my fakest smiles. Scandal does a funny thing to pride and it brings lovers closer. The whole issue with this song for me is I know it is one big huge metaphor and it's kind of talking about how, you know, the Sarahs and the Hannahs clutching their pearls saying what a mess. It's talking about church people, Christian people, I guess, looking at her bad and judging her. There is, again, a difference in self-righteous people being hypocrites and looking down on someone, and then Christians being someone saying, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Judging by the fruits here, you're not really giving anything to God. You're going another way. Your little girl's in the car and she is screaming this song, and she's taught, like, all of these lyrics that she's singing. She doesn't realize that they're metaphors. These kids don't understand what they're singing. And whether it's a metaphor or not, it is still coming out of your mouth. And words have meaning, okay? And my point is when you listen to certain music, when you sing along with certain music, it's still going to affect you. It is still something that is not good. I mean, how many times have we sang other songs that have really, really bad meanings that we wouldn't say any other time? Like, "I'm going straight to hell just like my mama told me to." Or is it mother or mama? "Straight to hell just like my mother said."
Mama said.
Okay, point being, would you say that in a general date? No. Was he talking about all of that happening literally? Probably not. But the fact is when we say these things, when we sing these words, when we sing these lyrics, they still have meaning, whether they're metaphorical or not. And the platform that Taylor has, it's her choice whether she wants to sing Christian music or not. It would be amazing if she became a Christian artist and all of those young girls that want a... They have great role models in the worship music world, they do. But to have somebody like Taylor Swift come into that, that would be amazing. It is. And people are like, well, she doesn't want to be a Christian artist. She doesn't have to be. Absolutely, she does not. I don't have to listen to her if it's something that I don't like. Absolutely. But if I have all of my friends out here who may not realize that maybe this isn't the best thing to be listening to, it's my job to tell them, hey, maybe that doesn't sound too good. Let's, you know, you might want to rethink that. That's what I'm doing. That's my point, is Taylor doesn't have to stop singing. I don't have to listen to her if I don't want to. And that could solve my personal problem right there. That's fine. But I've had friends who were like, you know, I felt really convicted about this lately and I could not figure out why. And after you mentioned it, I think that's maybe what it is. Maybe, you know, God's pulling me away from that because she really is kind of diving pretty hard on that side of it. I know this episode's been kind of a little all over the place, but before I close it, I just want to very briefly, I want to talk about one more thing, and it's discernment. So basically that is judging well. It's the perception of the absence of judgment within a view of obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. That is the technical definition. Discernment is when you feel something in your soul that says, that's probably not okay. When you have that weird feeling and it's God speaking to your soul saying, okay, that's not a good thing. Maybe you should take a step back and really look at that. Like, it's a gift from God, the spirit of discernment, and how God uses that to tell us that's not a good thing, or, you know, that is a word from me. And like I've said before, just because somebody comes up to you and says, I have a word that God gave me that he wants me to tell you, just because someone came up to you and said, hey, this is from God, that don't mean it's from God. You have to use discernment to really know, okay, is this a God thing? And you really need to start learning how, pray for a spirit of discernment. Pray that God, you know, touches you and allows you to be able to know what kind of music you need to be listening to. And again, I'm not trying to, like, bash Taylor Swift. I'm not trying to judge Taylor Swift. I'm just saying you should probably look at the fruits of that one and, you know, decide for yourself where she stands with you. There are just so many other things out there that you could be listening to that is going to uplift, there we go, your spirit, that is going to draw you closer to God, that is really going to help you grow spiritually, and that's what you need to be doing. That is what you need to be listening. And I want to also point out that this is not an easy thing. Like, please don't think that Bridget grew up, you know, she's a preacher's kid and she listens to like Christian music and that's just what she did her whole life. And no, I absolutely hated Christian music for a large portion of my life. Not that I hated I don't like the cheesy Christian music, okay? And that is why I made this like mission to go out and find and make myself a playlist that I would enjoy listening to, because I just didn't listen to Christian music for so long because I got sick of the same like 20 songs that sounded exactly the same, and it was just so cheesy. It was not relatable. So I found these songs, I found these artists that they're amazing, and the songs that they sing, it really does like lift me up. It does touch my soul. It does help me. And that's what I want you to try to find. Use discernment with every single song. Just because someone says that they are a Christian artist does not mean that always is the best thing to listen to. You have to look for the anointing in God, and you'll know. Changing from or deciding to not listen to secular music is a very hard decision. It is a very personal decision. It's one that you really have to make on your own. And go, like I was saying, go to TikTok and look up Christian music and go through. There is this one girl, I have no idea who she is. I will have to go and find her again. But she made these videos and it was like, if you like this, you'll like that. And she would play like a secular song and then she would give you a song that had the same maybe kind of uplifting vibe or whatever, but it was a Christian song. And that's how I found a lot of music that I really like. That and just through TikTok in general, I would go to the ones that was like, worship playlist. I would tap that in TikTok and I would go through and find it, go to Spotify and find worship playlist. Make it easy for you to want to listen to Christian music. Make a playlist that is absolutely insane and that's all you want to listen to. And at the same time, you're glorifying God with what you're doing. If you're depressed, make a worship playlist. Go through and listen to worship music and tell me that it does not help you. Okay? I want you, okay, one of my absolute favorite songs, I've said it 400 times, it is In the Room by Maverick City. I cannot hear that song without God like speaking to my heart. That or what is it? Gratitude by Brandon Lake, I think it is. It's that slower song. That is probably one of the very first worship songs that I listened to when I got back into this and I really was trying to find stuff for myself. That song, it made me squall every time I heard it for a while. Go through, find a playlist. I'm going to make a Spotify playlist and I will link it in the, I'll put it on our Facebook and our Instagram. I will link my Apple playlist into the show notes for you guys. But if you have any recommendations, I'll make a post on our Facebook. Throw your favorite artist in the comments. I have a TikTok talking about my playlist that you can go and put your favorite people in the comments. But all of this to say is, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful what you are allowing into your spirit by what you are listening to. Be careful what you are allowing your children to listen to. Make a better playlist. Do better. Feed your spirit, not your flesh. But other than that, hope you guys have a great week. I want to go ahead and let you guys know that my co-host here is turning 29 on Thursday. So make sure you guys reach out on our Facebook and our Instagram or TikTok and tell Andy happy birthday on Thursday. He's going to be 29 years young. Mm. Turning 29 for the first time too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The OG.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hope you have a great week.
See ya.
Toodles.